Good morning. Welcome to Easy Knowing. I'm Sherry Kennedy, and I am so happy to have you join me today. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Sedona, and we have got a gorgeous day happening. I hope that in your part of the world, it's just as beautiful. And I want to remind you, the lines are always open, and the number to call is 773-897-6227. And I would really love to hear you call in, share a story, ask a question, make a comment. Let us know some of the things that you've experienced on your personal journey and how you have learned and evolved as a result of the choices you made. So again, the number is 773-897-6227. So let me know if there's areas of discussion that you'd like to expand on or new topics that we haven't introduced yet. I would dearly love to hear from you. So until then, I'm going to talk to you today about balance. Now, if you believe that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, then the statement, birth closes the door to eternal life and death opens it, is a very valid one. Until we pass through the birth canal, we are one with and connected to Creator. We have all knowledge, awareness, and understanding. We know the answers to who we are and why we are here. But once that umbilical cord is cut, so is our connectedness to the Creator. Our purpose during what we call life is to become aware and to consciously aware and to physically manifest our spiritual essence. You know, again, going back to we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And until we get, until we become physical and pass through the birth canal, we have all memory. We know exactly what we're coming here for, the lessons we're going to learn, the soul connections we've made. We have all awareness and all knowledge. But the minute that that umbilical cord is cut, we lose all memory and conscious awareness. And then again, our journey begins to learn how to become human and how to discover the spiritual being that you truly are. Now, I do believe in reincarnation, and I believe in the laws of karma, but not in the sense of a good or bad or right or wrong, like, oh my God, if you do bad, is somebody bad's going to happen to you? It's not that kind of thing. Karma is about balance, and it's each person's balance is different. You know, whenever somebody does something to you and you want them to get theirs, what we're really saying is that you want them to experience the same kind of pain and suffering you experience through their actions or non-actions. But because we all have different beliefs, different trigger points, different reasons to be here, different lessons to learn, what will hurt and traumatize you may not faze another person and vice versa. So karma is about bringing that person into balance to experience the extremes of the emotions. You can't just experience all negative without having the positive to bring that into balance. So understanding that reincarnation is just being born into another body, time, and place. Karma is the sum of one of a being's actions during the phases of existence. Okay? When we die holding a false belief, it becomes a lesson of another incarnation. And the minute that we go into spirit, we know that belief was false because we are again connected to all that is. Unfortunately, we can't change in spirit what was created in the physical. So as a result, we choose each life and our parents and the soul agreements and the lessons that we are going to learn, as well as the people that we're going to connect with. And these incarnations are based on the lessons that are necessary for the soul, for you to achieve the growth and wisdom, and they won't be in a consecutive linear order. They're designed to allow the spirit to evolve, to grow, and to become more of its true self, manifesting physically. And when you die and go into spirit and you know that, okay, well, that was a false belief I'm going to need to change, that doesn't mean that you're the next lifetime is the lesson, is the time that you're going to unlearn that lesson. There may be several different lifetimes in between, and because only in the third dimension is time linear, based on that perspective, some of the lives will even be in the, quote, past, unquote. So you're going to get to experience the life, the people, the situation, the circumstances that are going to best balance out your energy, your karma, so that you can be grounded and be healthy and happy and in a sense, free. So karma has a lot to do with how that experience is achieved. And whether it is in this lifetime or another, there is a very real possibility that you will receive in kind. In other words, if you abused, you will experience abuse. It may not necessarily be in the same way, but you will experience your soul's belief and perspective of what abuse is, not someone else's. It's real important to recognize and to understand that what we're really talking about here is balance. You have to have balance in your life to be healthy, happy, whole, and in resonance with who you truly are. And the thing that keeps balance from happening most is judgment. It's always about judgment, comparison. And, you know, most people don't associate judgment as being comparison, but whenever you really, you know, pull all the veils away and look at it very clearly, it's very obvious that you cannot have a judgment without a comparison. You have to compare yourself to others, your situation to another. You have to make it good, bad, right, or wrong. Those are comparisons. And if you are the only one of you there is, and you bring into this world a very unique and different perspective on everything that you experience and how you understand everything that others share with you that they have experienced, it changes everything. The choice to incarnate into another life is made with all knowing and awareness. And so is the idea that we choose our parents. A lot of people go, I did not choose my parents. Well, I'm here to tell you, yeah, you did. To say you didn't ask to be born is just as false as the fact that you didn't choose your parents, because you did. And we were given permission to be here. Now, we chose our parents based on how they would assist us on the path that we have chosen to walk in this particular incarnation. Now, you may think, well, that means, oh, then they're going to support us and put us in the right direction and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean that necessarily. That can happen, of course, but your parents are going to be the ones who push your buttons, who challenge you, who teach you what not to be as much as teaching you what to be, because it's a soul agreement as well. You ask permission, and they granted permission. So it's a two-way street. They're going to get as much from your soul agreement with them as they are from theirs with you. Every being that we connect with is there to assist us in some way, shape, or form. And we may like it or hate it. We may be aware of it. We may not be aware of it. It may be positive or negative. None of that matters. What matters is what you get out of it. What was the message you received? You know, if your parents were negative and condescending and violent and all of that, they showed you that way of life. And it was up to you to see a different way, which you got exposed to through just living your life, going over to your friends' houses, to being even relatives and things. You know, you get to observe, you get to see what's going on, and you get to choose. And sometimes the ones that are the closest to us are our greatest mirrors. And then other times, the perfect stranger that you meet on the road will be carrying the biggest mirror you ever saw in your whole life. And never a word is spoken, but the message is received. Each of us, each being is absolutely independent of the unique and different roles that we play. We are not our experiences, but we have a tendency to make that so. It's just like even when we are sick, we say, my cold, my cancer, my arthritis. We own it. We take possession of it. And as long as you are owning it with that kind of energy, it ain't going nowhere. But as you begin to recognize, wait a minute, this isn't mine. I don't want it. I lovingly release it to its own highest good. You shift your crystal. You see things different. Just something that you might seem or feel like you're saying in a kind of smart-assy way is really speaking truth. And if you have to say it in that way to be comfortable speaking your truth, then that's fine too. But each of us are going to experience growth and our evolution as a result of all of the agreements that we experience. And since we're talking about balance as being the quote-unquote theme here, you have to have these experiences to find the balance that you're seeking. Another way of saying that is that when you come into this world, you have to be conditioned and programmed to the world, to the social structure, and to the politically correct process and experiences that we're going to be going through. We're taught how to handle it based on what society deems acceptable and unacceptable. So there is, we are finding balance even in the midst of our chaos, even in the midst of our nothingness, our boredom. There is work being done deeply within, sometimes not so deep, and that's getting more and more prevalent as each day goes by. The lesson of judgment is that we will always experience that which we judge. Just not always in the same way. It's the same thing with karma. We will always experience the opposite of our extreme just so that we will be able to come into balance from the experience. Our truth is discernment. A choice is to our highest good. Judgment makes everything good or bad or right or wrong, and that's where we get caught. Everything just is. It is our perception of it that labels it to be good or bad or right or wrong. And who are we, as individuals and as a society, to judge anyone for anything? Judgment isn't necessary for setting boundaries, socially or individually, and creating consequences when those boundaries are crossed. We can set those boundaries of our truth and of how we choose to be treated in this world once we understand who we are and set those boundaries. And the consequences of crossing them doesn't have to be about a judgment of making somebody good or bad or right or wrong, of just understanding that it's a choice. We are not our actions except through judgment. We are acceptable no matter what, and we are each unique, rare, and precious with worth and value. When our behavior is not acceptable, it is the behavior that needs to be addressed. And each person is responsible for the consequences the choice of the behavior created. Now remember, there's a huge difference between saying you are a bad person and what you are doing is unacceptable. Or even saying I'm mad at you. Instead of saying, I'm mad at what you did, or instead say, I'm mad at what you did. Even if we were to walk the same path as another person, we would still have a different perception of the same experience and learn a different lesson as a result of it. This is talking about the book that Creator uses to teach us our lessons. No one has lived our lives, felt our feelings, thought our thoughts, experienced our experiences. So what possesses us to believe that we should think, feel, and be like another person under any circumstances? The negative belief systems that are held in place by the power of fear are being challenged and changed. And we are recognizing that individually, we collectively make the changes humanity needs not only to survive, but to evolve. Now, one of the core beliefs, to think a thing makes it so for me, is the basis for everything that we say, do, think, and feel. It is our belief system in that we react based on what we believe to be true. So if anything that you are saying, thinking, doing, and feeling is creating any negative manifestations in your world, you must become aware of it and change it. And we become aware through observation, through shifting the crystal, through recognizing old behavior patterns, seeing when we shift the crystal, one of the ways that what we're doing is learning to see the experience from a different perspective, to see it without judgment, because when you shift the crystal and change the perspective, the same judgment can't be there. And when taking responsibility for your actions, positive and negative, eliminates the feeling of victimization. We've been taught to feel like we're all victims. This is all happening to you because you weren't good enough. You weren't worthy. You weren't special. You weren't. Which is, you know, one of the greatest lies. When you take your power back, when you take responsibility for yourself and choose not to be a victim of any situation or circumstance, you literally take your power back and control them. When you negate your thoughts and deny your thoughts, feelings, and actions, they control you. When you understand that you are the only one who can make you say, do, think, or feel anything, no one can ever control or manipulate you unless you allow it, and that's a choice. You know, quit playing the blame game. Quit playing victim. Nobody made you do anything. Your belief system, whether you're aware of it or not, was the reservoir of knowledge that you drew from for your actions and reactions, whatever they choose to be. It's up to you to decide whether it's good or bad, whether it's right for you now, you know. This is an energetic game that we play with each other, and it is literally killing us. And the only way to stop stealing other people's power, because you gave yours away, is to stop giving your power away. Stop being a victim. No one did anything to you. It is your perception of what they did that you're reacting to, not what they did. Look at how you are seeing what they did. Yeah, just ask different questions of yourself. Would I feel the same way if somebody else did it? You know, is this personal? What am I reacting to? Most of the time, what a person does is they simply push our button. And a button is only attached to a false belief. And when it gets pushed, you're being given the opportunity to recognize and change it. Acting on your truth is very, very different than reacting to a false belief. Now, as I said many times, you're not going to ever know what a false belief is by sitting down and saying, what are my false beliefs? Any response you get in that way is going to be from ego. And ego doesn't want you to know. Because as long as you hold your false beliefs, then ego believes that you are still safe because you're conditioned and programmed just like everybody else. So when you find your buttons getting pushed, you've got to take that deep breath and ask yourself some of the following questions. What am I really angry about? Or what am I really hurt about? What need am I trying to get met? Who or what am I trying to please? Is this what I really believe or feel, or what I think I'm supposed to believe or feel in this given situation? What am I really afraid of? Who or what am I judging in myself or in others? Or am I trying to have my own way regardless of the outcome and the results? You have to be willing to be honest with yourself regarding your answers. And that willingness will allow you to begin to see beyond the surface of your conditioning and programming. And when you are asking that question internally and you're getting a response back, if you get a response back that includes the he, she, it, or they, then you're still playing the victim role. You're still giving your power away because this isn't about them. This is about your reaction. So if you're saying he, she, it, or they, then you are still caught up when you have to go back and say, no, what am I reacting to? And in kind of a different way, some other questions that you could be asking yourself and put on your awareness list is, what does the receiving end of my actions and behaviors feel like? And how can I express my feelings without judgment? Two really, really powerful awarenesses to have in your toolbox, you know, because by just asking yourself those questions, it's going to make you stop and think a little bit. Because, you know, the sad thing is that in truth, we all need to be taught how to love and to be loved. We need to be taught how to be husbands and wives and parents and children, how to understand what we feel, how to forgive, how to be healthy and happy, how to be successful, and how to express our spiritual selves in a physical way. Collectively, we all assume we are just supposed to know these things. And are scared to death that someone will discover we really don't know before we can learn it. In this situation, our false belief is that everyone else knows what we don't. That creates pretending and judgments. Judgments create an intense power struggle between a parent and a child, a parent's expectation of the kind of person their child should be, manifest in judgments of all they are not. The parent is so concerned with the kind of person they want their child to be, they cannot see or allow themselves to know the kind of person the child is. The parent's judgment and the child's rebellion at the false expectations denies both the relationship they are so desperately wanting. And when I say child, we are not talking about a chronological age. Our belief that we can affect cures by treating the physical symptoms is false. Time, an incurable disease like cancer, becomes curable. We create another one more horrible, like AIDS, with which to replace it. Disguised as cures, the drugs and surgical techniques can only treat the symptoms of the disease. Your body experiences pain or injury as a result of a false belief. It is the only way your spirit has of telling you that what you're thinking, feeling, or believing at a particular time or about a particular situation is false. It's nurtured to maturity within the body, fed by the negative thoughts and judgments of the false belief. The charge of the emotion created by the reaction to the belief held over long periods of time is what allows that weak spot in the physical body. It's important to understand that our injuries, accidents, and illnesses are physically real. However, it is what we think and believe at any time that gives the vulnerability to those beliefs. Okay, lower back pain is a manifestation of fear, of lack. Now, here's an example of that belief in action. Marital problems intrude and occupy our thoughts at every opportunity if you're a married person. We'll constantly replay arguments and accusations and situations in an attempt to find solutions and to absolve ourselves from blame. I knew this man who his occupation was in construction, and he was having a lot of struggle and strife in his marriage. And this one day, he was up on top of a house, putting tar on it, cleaning it off, sweeping it off, getting it prepared for that. And he wasn't really focused on what he was doing. It was one of those mindless jobs. So his thoughts were about his marriage and about what was going on, and feeling frustrated and angry and helpless. And all of a sudden, he felt this really severe pain in his lower back. Now, he wasn't lifting heavy objects or doing something where hurting your back would be understandable. He was simply sweeping. But the pain was so severe and so intense that it brought him to his knees. It was not what he was doing, but what he was thinking about that created the pain of this injury. He was in the process of thinking about a divorce, of wondering about all and letting all of the fear and the negatives and everything of that coming into his life. The fear of losing his kids, his life, his wife, everything that he had worked for. That's what brought him to his knees, not what he was doing, not the action. Now, the added bonus to the injury, in a sense, is that if he's hurt, then his wife wouldn't leave him. Then maybe she would stay long enough to get everything fixed. In a sense, we go back to that truth that we will break any moral, legal, or federal law to meet a need. And he needed to meet his need to be hold his family together, to be accepted, to be worthy, to be of value, to be important. All of the needs that we have are all wrapped up in that one little package. But because of the conditioning and programming, what he was thinking and feeling at the time of the injury was never even given any thought or consideration, because his belief system didn't hold that truth. He had no idea that a thought could create that, and probably wouldn't have believed it. But that is the way that our body will talk to us, the way that our body will try and give the information to us. He had to shift the crystal, or he would create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if the emotion, the fear was so great that it released the adrenaline to his body so strongly that it brought him to his knees, that's a lot of power. You're creating a false belief or reinforcing that false. So it's so important to connect the dots in your own life. You have to pay attention to what's actually going on around you, not just physically, but within your mind, within your body, within your consciousness. What are you thinking about? How many times have you been lost in thought to the point somebody comes up and says, oh, penny for your thoughts, or what were you thinking about? All of a sudden your mind is wiped. You can't think. You don't have no idea what you were just thinking about, but you were really into it. These are the things, these are the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, the awareness that has to be brought to the surface. Growth and the fulfillment of our purpose to express our spiritual essence begins when each person individually becomes aware of this truth. As long as we pretend to know what we think we should know, we collectively create a society where everyone is trying to live up to others' expectations. That sound or look familiar? Because we end up in a society where no one takes responsibility for their own actions and behaviors. But we can't change what's going out on outside of us without changing what's going on within first. We cannot change anyone else, but we can change ourselves and become an example for others to see. What they do with it is not your responsibility. It's not yours. Yours is just to be that, to do that, to show that side of love, to manifest that vibration of energy. Just have to be willing to put it out there and let those who can see it, feel it, experience it, do so, and those who can't, know that it's not their time yet, but that it will always be there for them whenever they're ready. So do you see how this is all talking about coming back into balance? Everything that we are experiencing is designed to bring us into balance. And that balance is as simple as knowing the other side of the coin to what you believe. Doesn't mean you have to adopt that belief or any of the others that may come to mind. But if you don't know that they're there, you're living a very restricted and narrow life. And if that's what you want to do, you go for it. God bless you. But if it's not, then these are the ways that you do it different. These are tools to assist you in becoming aware of your own behavior. Now, a person who constantly has to have their own way will verbally and emotionally abuse anyone they believe that has prevented it. Their belief so totally controls them that they will completely justify and defend their actions and behaviors even to the point of violence. They cannot allow themselves to hear or validate another's perception because that could make their responses invalid and unacceptable and forcing them to take responsibility for their behavior, which they cannot do. If they insist that their perception of a situation is the only way that it can be perceived, they reinforce the belief that they are always right, they should always get their own way, thereby justifying any action necessary to accomplish that end. A person who always has to be right is, in truth, insecure and wears the mask to hide the true belief about themselves, that they are not enough. It's important to see through the icing of what a person is presenting themselves to be into the cake of who they really are. When you can do that, you can have tolerance and acceptance as opposed to judgment. When you're judging, you can't be tolerant or accepting. And when you are tolerant and accepting, you cannot be judgmental. You know, this is definitely one of those either or. They are not compatible, and you can't have one without the other, or with at the same time as the other. Tolerance and acceptance or judgments. Which one is feeling your well? It's really the tolerance of our differences and the seeming imperfections that allow the perceptions and expressions of our individual uniqueness. You know, we are not going to be like anybody else that we know in any way, shape, or form. We're not going to look alike. We're not going to sound alike. We're not going to think alike. We're not going to have any aspects of our physical expression in this life going to be the same? We may be being taught from the same book, but what we're learning from that book is going to be very, very different. And it will always be filtered through our experiences of all of who we are and who we've been. And just because we don't know who we are and don't recognize this incredible being that we are, doesn't mean we're not that. But it does mean that you limit how you get to experience and express through the filters that you choose to see. They're like veils over your eyes. If you put enough of them, they can be sheer as sheer can be. But if you put enough of them, they will begin to become opaque. And you may be able to distinguish shapes and figures, but you miss out on all the detail. And as you pull the veils back, which is another analogy of growth and evolution, you begin to see, oh, wow, I thought that was this. Now I see that it's not, that it's this. It gives you an opportunity to see what is different. What is this? But it's always our perspective of it that feeds our awareness. Okay, to those that are just joining us, you're listening to Easy Knowing, and I'm Sherry Kennedy. I invite you to participate. Give us a call, 773-897-6227. I'd love to hear stories, share some comments, and experiences that you might have. So, yeah, give me a call. And if you have an issue with calling and talking on the phone, then, you know, go and check out my website. There is a section in the website where you can send me an email, you can leave comments, and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about that you don't feel comfortable giving us a call about. So I would really invite you to do that. It's easyknowing.com. And you might also want to check out my book. It's a really, really, really great toolbook, which is what it's called. And it'll give you a lot of information and insights. Everything is just a little different. You know, truth is truth. But sometimes it's the way that it's said. And we'll all say it in a different way. So check it out. See what you think. And if you really have enjoyed the show and all of my teachings and checking out the tools on the website, go and make a donation and help support my work and the teaching. So let me hear from you. 773-897-6227. Share your experiences and adventures and let us know how you became who you are. Okay. Asking and receiving permission to come into this life through our parents doesn't mean that we will really like each other when we get here. You know, that's one of those things that we're supposed to love our parents, and our parents are supposed to love us. And in an ideal world, that's true. But there are many, many parents out there who really don't love their children for whatever reason, not good or bad or right or wrong. They were simply agreed to be the doorway to get that child into this world so that they could get to the adopted parents who they were meant to be with. There are so many reasons why something like that happens. Don't judge it. If you run into that encounter, ask the person to share their story. Find out what motivated that situation, because I guarantee you it's probably not going to be what you think it is. You know, and then there's all kinds of things that we feel ashamed of or embarrassed to feel. You know, a parent can love their child with all their heart while subconsciously resenting them for being the child who forced a marriage, prevented a divorce, stopped a college education, prevented a career choice, was the wrong gender, or a multitude of other reasons. These are subconscious subliminal resentments. And these are things that we're not even aware that we are feeling. But there are also things that are like, you know, when you get a sticker in your finger, if you don't get it out, it's going to get infected. It may take a while for that to happen. And a lot of times we say, well, I've got to wait for it to come to a head before I can get it out. You know, when we have feelings that we are not being true to ourselves. Now, I'm not saying go and share this with the world. That's not what this is about. But if you have feelings that you haven't admitted to yourself that you are feeling, those feelings are festering just like a sticker in your finger would. So admit them to yourself. Yeah, I feel this way. Why wouldn't I? That's your response, no matter what it is that you're admitting to that you feel. You have carried judgment and shame and guilt and blame and blah, blah, blah for how long now? Isn't it time to let it go and just say, well, why the heck wouldn't I have felt that? Look at what I was doing and where my head was at. That doesn't mean that you don't love the change that your path took, that you don't love your child, that you would give your life for that child. Doesn't mean any of those things to admit. Well, if I hadn't gotten pregnant, I wouldn't be here. I would have a college degree or something like that. Because at least the admission of that is going to bring to your consciousness, well, that's not true. Because you don't know what else might have prevented you. So to harbor resentment and carry judgment and guilt and blame for feeling the resentment that you've harbored is as ridiculous as believing that the child prevented you. These were choices that were made. Now, unfortunately, those resentments that can build up if you're not being honest about it, if a person isn't honest about what they're really feeling. And again, I'm using parents as an example because it's the easiest analogy, but this is not exclusive or limited to parents. This is all relationships. Because those resentments eventually will manifest in abuse and neglect on a mental, physical, emotional, sexual, and or spiritual level. Of course, the degree of abuse and neglect is determined by the level of awareness of the parent, has or has not achieved. And then, of course, once the child grows up, the parental resentments and the child's anger don't go away. They just manifest in a different way. The child who was raised in a dysfunctional and abusive family doesn't stop being an abused child when they have grown up. They may no longer be living within the home, yet the effects, the conditioning, and the habits learned remain. And without awareness, the child becomes another parent who acts and reacts just as their parents did because they have no knowledge that there is another way. One of the greatest difficulties, the biggest obstacle to overcome is knowing what you do not want for yourself and your children and not knowing how to change it. So think about that for a moment. That doesn't just apply to our children. I can remember when I had my own business, I got to the end of the knowledge that I possessed and I had no idea where to go to find what I needed to know as fast as I needed to know it, you know. And that was my experience, my lesson. But it taught me so many different things because in applying that to life, not just that one experience, or just two parents, but to relationships. You know, siblings can harbor resentments against each other for subliminal judgments just the same. It's not the judgment. It's not what you're feeling that is the problem. It's the fact that you're not acknowledging it to yourself. The rest of the world doesn't need to know. If somebody else needs to know, once you acknowledge it to yourself, you're going to know if they need to know. You know, so this is where you have to be honest with yourself, because if you're not honest with you, it is going to multiply out. You won't be able to be honest with others. And you may think that, you know, a situation 5 years down the road in another state or country isn't related to this. You're wrong, because you take you with you wherever you go. And if you have issues, if you have things that need to be resolved, they're going to stay with you until you resolve them, no matter where you live or how much you pretend that they're not there. We all have our own answers. That's the thing that we forget to remember. And the other thing we forget to remember is to ask the questions. You cannot get an answer to a question you don't ask. And I'm talking about talking to your guides, to your higher self, to your heart, to your spirit, whatever word you want to use to define it. You know that voice within you. It's been with you your whole life. And you've tried to push it away, to negate it, to make it not so. Well, that hasn't worked. It's still there. So start asking the question. Ask your higher self to help guide you through this maze of life. It will be of great benefit. The thing that is the most fun to discover is that once you become aware of all this and start admitting it to yourself, it's just an amazing, it feels like you've been all covered in mud and just found a nice warm hot shower. There is such a cleansing and a releasing and a letting go of all this stuff that we've got stuffed in little corners of our being, trying to pretend that that's not there, pretend that we know what we don't know. It's okay not to know. If you don't admit that you don't know, how are you ever going to learn it? Just be who you are. Be where you're at. We all have stupid moments. Are ignorant about something. Because ignorance just simply means that you haven't learned something yet. Whereas stupid is different. Stupid means you know it and you're just choosing to ignore it. You know, and we've all, like I said, we've all done stupid things. Ignorance is definitely something that you haven't learned yet. So you can't go around beating yourself up for what you don't know. You know, it's age inappropriate, so to speak. You know, you don't smack a 1-year-old because they drop food on the floor because they're not being neat or having good table manners. It's just absurd and ridiculous. But we do it to ourselves all the time without making that connection. So remember, be kind to you, be nice to you, be aware of you. Discover who you are. And that was one thing that I think really needs to be said over and over and over, is that you cannot become anything. All you are doing is discovering who you actually are. You know, it's like the powers that be took this beautiful being that we are, put us in this great big, huge, tall trash can, and then start dumping stuff on us. The conditioning and programming. You're not good enough. You're unworthy. Well, if you had done this, you would have that. And if you were liked, they da 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 da. And it just goes on and on and on. It's relentless. Well, you know, by the time we get to be adulthood, our garbage can is pretty well filled up. And, you know, if anybody knew that there was any light down there, it sure isn't because they're seeing it from the visual aspect. Becoming aware is just emptying the trash. It's saying, wait a minute. This is not my truth. This is not my truth. This is not my truth. It's okay if it's yours, but it's not mine. My truth is blah, 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 blah. You always have to state what you believe to be true when you start becoming aware of what your beliefs are. That's the biggie. Forgive yourself and others, because forgiveness rewards you with health and happiness. Once you understand the emotions, whether it's anger or fear or resentment or hate, it's no longer necessary. Just remember, no one can make you say, do, think, feel, or be anything without your permission. And if you feel like somebody is doing that to you, then you, on some level, have given them permission to do it. So stop it. Cancel your permission, take your power back, and say no. It is allowed. In fact, it's the only thing that you can do at this point is just say no. So, I had, whole lot more information. I looked up a while ago, and I thought that it was only had 30 minutes to go, and now it's like I've got 8 minutes to go. So what fun. See what happens when you get me on a roll? I don't shut up. Okay. So let's talk about it. Balance is the most important thing that you can achieve in your world. And the balance is going to come from so many different ways. There's so many ways that you can bring balance into your life, that you can find out what is keeping you off center, that you have your answers within. You know, it's kind of like fashion. You know, there are thousands and thousands of combinations and styles and types of clothing that we have to choose from. Our discernment, our specific uniqueness allows us to create our own style. Whether you think it's a style or not, it is yours. It is you. It is how you are experiencing and expressing to the world. This is your uniqueness. Okay? The thoughts, the beliefs, they're like clothing. You know, some of the styles are going to be awesome. They're going to be so fun. They're going to be just woohoo. Let's do this. And others are going to be like, oh, that is just so last year. Let's just not even go there anymore. Those are the false beliefs. Get rid of them. You know, there are so many analogies to what a false belief is. Don't be afraid to let it go. Don't be afraid to clean out your closet, whether we're talking spiritually or physically. You are making room for the new. If you don't ever let go of any of the old, if you think you've got to hang on to it because that's the way it's always been, then that's the way it's going to always be. But if you're tired of that and are wanting something more in your life than the status quo and maintaining the blandness, then let it go. Does your reaction to certain situations and circumstances serve you? Is it healthy? Is it achieving what it was originally set out to do? And I want to make another statement here. Vulnerability is your greatest protection. Now, when I first heard that statement, you know, 100 years ago, it seems, I thought that person was nuts. Are you crazy? Vulnerable, being vulnerable is going to protect me? There's just, no, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that one. And of course, you know, I'm a feisty little person, and I will challenge what I don't think is true, but I will research it. I will be open to it. I may challenge it the whole way, but I'm also got my nose in the knowledge book, finding out what I didn't know. So, just lost my train of thought. Oh, I lost it again. It'll come back to me. See, now I'm trying to think of it. I can't think of it. Alrighty, so let's just go back to, I apologize. I just really want to impress how important learning not to judge yourself, learning not to make things good or bad or right or wrong. Make that your challenge. Make that your homework assignment for the rest of your life if necessary, but really if you actually do it, it'll only take a couple of weeks. But how do you talk? How do you say something without making it a judgment? How do you express? You say it through observation. You own it. I think, I feel, I believe. I love the way that dress looks on you. That's not saying it's good or bad or right or wrong. It's just your opinion. Now, your girlfriend standing next to you or her girlfriend standing next to her is going, really? I think it makes her look frumpy. Okay? Both of those are judgments. Just because they're positive doesn't make it okay without owning it. I think, I feel. It is my opinion. That's an observation. As opposed to saying, well, that dress looks great. You're not owning it. That's a judgment. Or that dress looks tacky. You still didn't own it. You have to own what you're saying. Taking responsibility starts in little bitty tiny ways, and it just begins to expand and magnify from there. Anything that you perceive, good or bad or right or wrong, it simply is. And look at why you have a need to make it good or bad or right or wrong. How is that serving you? How is that meeting a need you have through that constant judgment? That's the key. Okay, so I see we're down to very little time left. And I want to thank each of you for listening and supporting the efforts. I really do hope you get to go to the website, check it out, and send me a comment. I would really love to get some feedback to see what you think and how you like the show. So until next week, follow your heart song and paint the world with the colors of your soul. Bye-bye.